Our reading for this evening is from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we'll read the whole chapter. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths, that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. And when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, in which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, and that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. So far the reading of Scripture.
Now, the purpose for my few words this evening is to prepare our hearts for the act of worship, thanksgiving. In the Bible is worship. It's to extol the Lord and to be small before him, to make him great by what we say and how we sing and how we pray. So that's the purpose of drawing the attention for a moment to the chapter that we read together, and particularly verse 10. If I may read that out of this chapter from Deuteronomy, Verse 10, Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. So from that verse, is it incorrect to conclude that God expects that those whom he has blessed to be thankful? I think that we can easily conclude together that God, when he speaks here through Moses to us and to the people then, he expects those he has given blessings to thank him wholeheartedly. Now, if you notice well how the chapter starts, it is a command. It's not an option. This chapter begins, all the commandments which I command thee this day, you shall observe to do, that you may live. Now, that command is not only talking about everything else that has been preceded, but also what is following. Isn't it sad that God has to command us to do that? It is kind of sad, isn't it? It's a real indication of our lack of thankfulness. God needs to remind us. And as I was paging through the Bible this day, you know, you come up with at least 15 texts on my outline, which I won't read all to you, in which God repeatedly have to remind his readers, his listeners, to be thankful. Give thanks in all things, everywhere and always. That needs to be daily the practice which God expects to see in us. Yeah, we can't excuse ourselves by saying that we are not thankful by nature. I don't accept that from my kids when I give them a present and they forget to thank me. And say, oh, Dad, I'm excused because I cannot be thankful of my own self. And God will not excuse us either, even though we're not thankful. He commands it. He expects it. That we together are like an evening, a day like this, take the time to thank him. And I realize very well, congregation, that thankfulness is a fruit of God's grace. But let us then seek that grace. Let the realization of the fact that we complain more and sigh more and murmur more rather than thank him bring us before God in the dust and says, Lord, please generate in me this thankful spirit, cultivate it in me by thy Holy Spirit. Because you notice in this chapter, if we only stay to this chapter, verse 2, God hammers it, you shall remember all the way that I have led you these 40 years. In the verse 10, as I just read, you shall bless the Lord thy God. Verse 11, don't forget, beware you don't forget me and in keeping my commandments. And in verse 14 again, don't let your heart be lifted up in all your success and forget that I gave you this success. I led you through the wilderness and I gave you all what you have received so far. And once again in verse 18, you shall remember it is God that gives you the power to get wealth. It is out of my covenant. So, that's my first point. God expects us to be thankful. It's a sad commentary that we're very eager to receive and slow to return. You know, we have excellent memories when it comes to the wrong that's done to us. But we have a very leaky memory when it comes to the good that has happened to us. And so the Lord expects us that we take our memory ability that the Creator has endowed us with and to just retrace the days of this past year, to put our memory to work. And what discoveries we then make. And it's interesting when the emails I got this last few days of those of you who took the time to share them with me. And I really do appreciate that. that you think along. And what is so remarkable then, as you're making these lists, you begin to realize, wow, I actually often forget to notice these things. I forget that it's a blessing that I can speak most of the days in a normal way and don't have to fight like I do tonight. What a beautiful gift it is to have a voice to speak. And we thank Him for that days of health when we finally feel sick again. At least then we begin to appreciate it more. And so that's the reality of our lives. Let's take this memory. Let's think back. Now, secondly, let's then look at this chapter and let's see that thankfulness is nothing more than reasonable. God asks Israel, look back. Verse 2, remember, that means retrace the way I've led you in these 40 years. Now, let's do that together. How did that begin? That began with a deliverance out of Egypt. So don't you forget. Every Sunday morning He reminds us of that too. I am the Lord God that took you out of the land of Egypt. God said, I don't want you to forget that. But He said, but I wasn't in Egypt. My dad wasn't there and I wasn't there. But you know what? We are spiritually taken out of the darkness of heathendom. We don't live like the heathens. We're raised as Christians with a mind that is confronted with the Word of God. It's a tremendous deliverance. Just to be in church on Sunday, to be in a Christian family throughout the week, to go to a Christian school, those are all deliverances God has given us, and how blessed we are. Psalm 147, the poet sings about that. This is what he says. He has showed His word unto Jacob, His statutes and His judgments unto Israel. He has not dealt so with any nation. No, we cannot say that today anymore. He's dealt so with many nations today. But there's still many nations who do not have what you and I have. So let's remember tonight to thank the Lord for the blessings of His word. That we're not in a vain religion. That we're not given up to hopelessness. That He has brought us very near to Himself by coming near to us. You know, even if you don't have this evening the liberty of faith to say that it's all true for you, do you realize what a hope we have heard about all our lives? As we grew up under the teaching of Jesus Christ, whereas there are so many today who have been always locked in a religion system that is hopeless and despairing and demanding and unsure, there's no light. So that's what God wants us to remember in the first place, that He has delivered us and brought us this message. Secondly, He says, I want you to remember that I kept you safe through the wilderness. 15a. He says, I led you through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and droughts, where there was no water, and brought thee forth out of the water, out of the rock of the flint. Now, we don't have fiery serpents and scorpions in our backyards, kids. But if you live in tents, and you got scorpions and fiery serpents crawling through your tents. Those are dangerous animals. That was no easy journey through this wilderness. Besides being hot, it was dangerous. And around us, also been many dangers. Many have been swept away by death this year, or by accidents. We have been spared. Around us are many spiritual dangers. There are demons around us all day, trying to lead us astray, trying to instill in us wrong thoughts and stir our hearts. You know, we are constantly in the battle zone between light and darkness. Millions suffer hunger. Millions are not having adequate housing. Millions are doomed in ignorance. God has led us through this earth which is like a wilderness, and He's led us so well, outwardly, for so much. Let's not forget, we're not any different than those people. No, thirdly, God has given trials and testings. In verse 5 He says, "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God has chastened thee." Now, we'll not go into that now, what the Israelites have experienced throughout that long journey. But some of us here have had some trials, difficulties, ongoing or new. Yes, we have our testings, setbacks, maybe losses. Maybe you've got already struggles in your financial positions, or work, or family, or on personal level. We've had our difficulties. We look back at those now. They didn't arise from the dust. They came from the Almighty. There's a sovereign God who rules over all things. And nothing in our lives comes without His will. Though it is painful. And so God is reminding them. He says, "Look, I have chastened you like a father does to his son." God cares more for the growth of our soul than for the comfort of our body, congregation. His aim is not to supply us only with food and drink. His aim ultimately is to train us for Him and for others. And so trials will come our way. And it takes a lot of grace to thank the Lord for those. In this chapter we often read the word "humbled." "I led you to this wilderness to humble you and to prove you." To humble means to know what's in your heart. There's nothing that we're more ignorant of than our own hearts. And there's nothing that brings that to the top than when God puts a trial in before us. It doesn't have to be big. A little annoyance. A bolt that doesn't want to get loose. It can just stir so much in our heart. Or a cow that doesn't want to do the right thing. It doesn't take much, right, for a student or for a child or for little things, to get that heart to go. Yeah, and then it is only a wonder that we have so little trials. Now, fourthly, God reminds Israel as they're standing here in chapter 8, right before they're entering into Canaan. He says, "Look now what you're going to get there in this land that I have bringing you forth." Verse 7, "I bring you into a good land." I could almost think of New Zealand when I read those verses. "A land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valley and the hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and land of oil, olive and honey, a land where you shall have no lack of scarceness of bread, you shall lack nothing. It's a rich land I bring you to." And in verse 12 and 13 he says, "Look, you go into a land where you will be eating well, and you may build houses, and herds and flocks will multiply." And that sounds like our days. It sounds like our story, isn't it? Certainly, friends, if we are looking back this year, you will have worked hard. Some of you have used great wisdom and prudence in managing your business or your farm. You were very skillful. And you've been successful. Some of you have said you had a record, even in a drought year. And some of them have increased our savings margins. But let's remind ourselves that the circumstances that brought you that prosperity are completely out of your control. No one of us rules over the bees that visit flower after flower, but the great beekeeper. No one rules over the worms in the ground, that do a lot of good to make our veggies grow. But the grey worm keeper, it is not your and my skill, pardon me. It's His skill and His ability and His gift that you and I are successful. And God is finally reminding us of that here, isn't He? Oh no, verse 14, that your heart be not lifted up and that you don't forget that I brought you out of the land and I led you. And in verse 17, don't you dare say my power and my might has gotten me this wealth. It's God that gives us the power and the ability. He rules over the rain and the sunshine. He controls the economy and the market. He has all things in His hand. It's very good for us to be reminded by the Lord there, isn't it? Verse 18, and thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. It is He that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto our fathers this day. No reason for pride. Though some have had a good season, all of it is God's goodness. One more thank to bring up. Verse 8 and 9. God says, I will bring you in a land with a variety of food. Wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, fruits and olive and honey. Keep your eyes open, children, for the blessings that you have so many different kinds of foods. But why did the Lord do that? Why didn't He just create only oatmeal? Have oatmeal every day. Or something else. But He didn't. He created and designed for us the variety of food and taste and looks. All why? Well, one way to keep us healthy, but another way to please us. To give us all these different sights and textures and tastes and so on. It's all designed, you know. It's all purposely designed by the Creator just to please us. Whoever dares to have an unkind thought of this Creator tonight, be corrected. This great God is full of love and full of goodness. He richly gives us all things to enjoy. So, let me then draw this to a conclusion. If we look back at verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He has given thee. You know, Israel was to bless the Lord for all He gave. So we are not to be forgetful. We're prone to do so. And then lastly, thanksgiving must be given to God. I notice this day when I look to the Psalms, find the appropriate Psalms to sing this evening. And many of them says, let us praise. Let us praise. Let praise the Lord. And I didn't find too many that actually directly praised the Lord. It's always an exhortation. Let us praise the Lord. There's a few of them, and not too many that are directly. So what I think the Holy Spirit is directing us by these Psalms, that as you read them, you need to stop and actually transpose that Psalm into direct praises. Not just read it, let us praise the Lord and say, amen. Take that very thought and that very suggestion and turn it into an actual song of praise. And that's what we are to do this evening. We are to bless God. We are to bring Him the wealth of our love. We are to bring Him the music of our praises and the devotion of our lives. We are to take moments in our days when we just for a moment gather our thoughts together and thank the Lord. Even better yet, we are to take everything that comes upon our path and remember this. All that we have above hell is God's gracious gift and worthy for thanksgiving. Everything then becomes a matter of praises. And how much more beautiful will the day be when we take the little things we take for granted and for a moment exercise our thoughts and rise up. thank thee, Lord. See, ah, but that becomes so common then. And it loses its depth when you do it all day long. Well, that's wrong. But one wrong doesn't make the other wrong right. So still it is fitting that we praise the Lord together for the richest tidings, gifts of grace. And now we've only spoken about this chapter, which mostly dealt with the material matters, congregation. But if we could only extend it in our thoughts to all the spiritual blessings we have, what have we then been exceedingly richly blessed? So hopefully this has placed us in our thoughts ready to come before the Lord in thanksgiving. But let's first do that together in singing. Psalter 167. Let us sing all four verses as we stand together. Thou visitest the earth with showers. Thy boundless store supplies its need. And what follows? 167, 1 through 4. Let's come before the Lord now with thanksgiving and prayer. Faithful and wonderful, merciful God and Father of this creation, though man is unthankful, thou remainest faithful. And though mankind, Lord, abuses thy goodness, thou hast not ceased to be good. And therefore, as we draw this evening together for a moment with each other in an hour of reflection and thanksgiving. Lord, we do not know where to start, and we do not know where to stop. For there is so many things that as we sit down to consider Thy dealings with us, then they are beyond number. And Lord, we come therefore with a desire this evening, Lord, to obey Thy call and Thy command to bless Thee as the Lord our God for all the good that Thou hast done to us. And we realize that a true thanksgiving heart is a humble heart. Is a heart, Lord, that is clearly aware of what we deserve, and that Thou hast not done with us after our sins, and that should touch us. We confess, Lord, that much of our thankfulness is missing because we have so little insight in what we really are before Thy holy sight. Therefore, we pray this evening also, minister to us by Thy Spirit to prepare and to keep our hearts in a thankful spirit, in an humble spirit. What a blessing, O God, that Thou also hast given the Lord Jesus Christ as a thanking High Priest. And this evening we desire to make mention of His name also, and we bring our thanksgiving to Thee. And Lord, above all blessings has been the spiritual blessings in our lives, Thy care and Thy love in giving us the message in the Holy Scripture, the message of hope in an offer of forgiveness, a message, Lord, of comfort in a world that is so full of misery and uncertainty. We thank Thee, O God, for the Bible, for the instruction it gives in wisdom's ways, for the wonderful truths that Thou hast there made known that could have never been dreamt up by man. That wonderful, oh, that unfathomable gospel that Thou so loved the world to give Thy only begotten Son, that sinners can be saved. And Lord, that we are the recipients of that message, that Thou hast brought it to our ears, and also that Thou hast brought it into the hearts of those among us. We thank Thee therefore, Lord, that we have the Scriptures still in our midst, and that we are able to hear, be together without any fear for persecution. And we pray that Thou would uphold those who tonight are experiencing the persecution for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy care, for Thy loving care, for Thy sovereign ruling over our lives in every detail. Though we must confess that some details are very difficult, difficult to accept, difficult, Lord, for us to see the wisdom in it, difficult to see how good can come out of it. But Lord, we must acknowledge Thee and thank Thee for being sovereign, but also wise. For Thou maintains also this life and this planet as a livable place by Thy Holy Spirit. Thou art still allowing us so many common mercies in every day. For how void and how joyless would life be without Thy presence, even outwardly or in the common grace. So, Lord, we thank Thee and we confess that too often our eyes are closed for it. We just live without noticing the things Thou layest upon our pathway. We thank Thee tonight also for the church that we may have as a congregation, that we may be together in unity and love. We may thank Thee tonight for those men and women that contribute also to our church family in leadership as elders and deacons and pastor. We thank Thee, Lord, also for the organists and for the cleaners and the welcomers, and even those who keep up the grounds around the church building, and those who do the service on the phone and computer, and the babysitting and the editing in newsletters, and so many little tasks that are done every month and every year by a variety of people in our church. And Lord, we just lift up all those mentioned and those not mentioned, and thank Thee for their joyful service, for their faithful efforts, and for the ability Thou art giving to them. And Lord, we pray that we may more and more grow in love, in genuine love to one another. For there is always new room to grow. That Thou wilt help us to love those that are placed upon our path. Thou preserve and deepen our unity in faith, in love, in hope, in Thy gracious truths. And we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast blessed also the preaching of the Word, that Thou hast given not only strivings of the conscience, but that Thou hast worked repentance and faith within the congregation, that Thou hast led men and women and boys and girls, we hope, O Lord, into that only and narrow way that leadeth unto life. Oh, we thank Thee for that precious blood of the Savior, able to cleanse us from all sin, and for His righteousness as the covering for naked and guilty sinners. And Lord, we thank Thee for setting free hearts from guilt and fear and the burden of sin, applying that salvation by the work of Thy Holy Spirit to the hearts. And we beseech Thee, O Lord, that Thou let not the preaching of Thy Word be in vain, that it may continue to work more and more in every heart, that new life, that new hunger. And so we bless Thee for our whole congregation and for all what Thou art allowing us to do and enabling us to do. For those men, women, young or old, that are also giving their time in whatever ministry throughout our community. And Lord, we just pray again that Thou would uphold and strengthen them. In a special way tonight, we were also requested to give thanks for the school, especially in the light of the staffing challenges that have been faced. Our soul graciously provided, O God, to all those involved. Thou hast provided with new staff members. Thou hast made the school financially a very good position at this moment. Lord, it's been often said by those who are intimately acquainted with all these things that it was Thy hand, Thy good hand, Thy gracious hand, also Thy undeserving hand, that has made it all so well. How can we thank Thee enough? We pray that Thou equip our teachers, our principal, with the wisdom and the patience, that Thou would give them and kindle and rekindle in them the vision to pass on Thy truth and all the blessed knowledge that they may have to our rising generation. Bless the board members, Lord, also those that may obtain and position in the boards in the coming future. We thank Thee, Lord, for all the Bible study groups and for the blessed unity that may also be experienced at those times. And we pray that Thou would cause it to grow our understanding of Thy Word. We may also thank Thee this evening for calling and moving men into the ministry and into mission work or evangelism. We pray for the future need that we face as congregation, Lord. We beseech Thee, O God, that Thou wilt direct us as a church family to the man that Thou hast chosen for this congregation to take the place when I leave. And we beseech Thee, Lord, that Thou have a special regard to the needs that there are in this unique position of the congregation, so far removed from other ministers that are able to serve here. And Lord, Thou knowest that need. Thou knowest that it is also a burden to us. And we may lay it before Thee, O gracious God and Provider, that Thou wilt so in Thy goodness again provide a man to lead in the pastoral ministry of this congregation. We pray for the students in the ministry that are facing the final exams this coming week and ask Thee also to bless them and to promote them into a new year. Lord, there's been many blessings in our social life also. There's been no loss of life within our immediate church family, especially in the light of so many younger and also older people that have been killed in accidents. We may thank Thee for the new marriages that we've seen in our church family in the last year. We thank Thee that our young people may still value marriage as the institution that Thou hast placed in this world. And we pray that Thou would bless our marriages, Lord. Thou turn them into a faithful reflection of Jesus Christ and His people. That Thou would protect our marriages, as many are breaking down in our culture, dysfunctional or broken or destroyed. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would be as a wall of fire round about us. And broken marriages do not bypass our doors either. We commit those to Thee who have also experienced that in our midst for the healing in person as well as in their relationships. And that Thou would provide, O Lord, in all what needs there are. We thank Thee for the new children that are born, that were healthy, that have been granted again a loving family in which they may grow up. And Lord, we also have been reminded, therefore, of those who would be fathers and mothers and to whom Thou hast not yet granted that blessing. We lift them also to Thee. We were asked this evening to specially remember Kate Wilson. Lord, she has been a midwife who has delivered many of our church family babies. And as she is facing surgery tomorrow for pancreas cancer, we ask that Thou also would go with her and that this trial in her life may be a blessing to bring a new beginning also in her journey of life. We thank Thee for our stable government to guide our country. And we pray that, Lord, Thou wilt stock our leaders with many men and women that may be inspiring people with insight and integrity and godliness. Oh, that Thou wilt raise our leaders to be as a Josiah and a Hezekiah of old. And yet we thank Thee, O God, we don't live in a place like Syria or other places where there is so much destruction and so much disorder. Oh, we pray that Thou would continue this blessing to us. We thank Thee for the opportunity of our young people to go to school and university. And also there we ask that Thou would keep them and bless them in their preparations. Thou hast not left us without work. Thou hast not left us without income to provide for our families in all necessary things. Lord, we suffered a drought in New Zealand, but it appears hardly to have touched our church family. Thou hast so amazingly blessed most of us. And we credit it all to Thee, for Thou art a wonderful and a caring Creator. We have generally enjoyed good health with each other. We have been able to come up to work or to school or to the church. There are some, however, Lord, who cannot and who are hindered by a variety of circumstances. And we remember them also this evening, not having good health physically or mentally, or maybe having children with weakness. There are those who are lonely. There are those with secret burdens of sins and sorrows. There are those who have empty places. There are those among us who struggle with the effects of abuse or neglect. There's a whole lot of things, Lord, that so often we forget are daily present in people's lives and families. And we ask that Thou would please keep us mindful of it. And all the abundance of our food and drink, clean water. Oh Lord, we praise Thee. And as we just reviewed all these blessings together tonight, we must bless Thee, O God of grace and mercy. Thou art great, and Thou art greatly to be praised for Thy faithfulness. Words seem so poor, and they fall so short of what we ought to say and want to say. Yet, Lord, may Thou have detected in our hard and upright spirit of joyful thanksgiving. And we praise Thee and ask Thee then to make all glory and all power to be for Thee only. Hear us and forgive us our sins even in this evening hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.